leave it on. Okay, I was just saying it, turn it down. Okay, don't pan. Gosh, wow. All right, let's just pray and prepare our house before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your truth and the power that comes from knowing your word. Lord, as we look into your word even more, Father, we desire more kingdom impact. We desire, Father, to seek you first. So, Father, help us not to leave this place. We declare over every person in this building, Lord, over everyone online, that we will not leave this place the same that we came in. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 So, as you know, we're talking about kingdom impact. Can you hear? Yeah. We're talking about kingdom impact. And so the verse that we're focusing on, as Pastor Joe started last week, this is our vision casting month. So that's why there's no creche and children's church. This month we are focusing on, as a whole church, moving forward. Whenever, and you look at the Old Testament, whenever the Israelites were going to speak or declare something, they gathered all the people. If you know any Jewish people, they're a wonderful people to speak to because they continue their culture and their traditions. And so whenever anything is going to be announced, it doesn't matter how old you are, babies, everybody gathers together to hear what is being said. So the same message is goes to everybody. And that will be done day after day after day so that it really reinforces what God is saying. And so as a church, we want to make sure that as we go into 2020, that the Lord is right in where he should be at the helm of what we're doing. So Matthew 6:33, which Pastor Joe read last week, but seek first, have we got verses, hopefully, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So I'm going to focus on those three words, seek first. Seek first is the message that we're going to speak about today. And in the New Testament, the word to seek is translated as this. It means to seek a particular thing, to seek in order to find out by thinking, meditating, or to inquire into something, to strive for something, to even crave for it, to demand for something from someone else. So the word to seek has a very powerful meaning. And all of these, most of these notes are, if you're a member and you've joined the WhatsApp group, good old WhatsApp, then you will have these notes in the WhatsApp group. If you are not in the WhatsApp group and you haven't got the notes, please call the office and then to make sure that you get the notes and that you get added to that group. So the word to seek has a very, very powerful meaning. It means to crave for something. If you've worked with people who have an addiction, that might be chocolate or drugs. I really fancied a wagon wheel the other day. I was like, I've got to get a wagon wheel. How many people have had a wagon wheel? Have you had a wagon wheel? When I was growing up, we just loved wagon wheels. And I really craved a wagon wheel, so I went and I bought a wagon wheel, and I was so excited. And I was looking at it thinking, this is half the size of what they were before. And I bit into it, and I was like, oh, that is disgusting. It wasn't the same. So when you crave something, you will do whatever it takes to get it. That's what this word means in this chapter, to really crave. At all costs, I will get what I need to. That's what this verse is saying. So to seek means to run after, to get to know, to look for, and to search. So I'd like my two assistants to come, please. That sounded really good, didn't it? If they could come, Frankie and Steve, thank you. No, it wasn't. It was Steve and Edmund. Sorry. No, it was Frankie and Edmund. Sorry. Frankie and Edmund, thank you. They were my helpers. Great. So if you can bring the tables and thank you. Okay, great. So we're going to have a little illustration to help us to understand what this actually means to seek first. It's easy for us. Yep, great. It's easy for us to read a verse in the scripture, for us to decide, as Lindsay said, some of us might plan, okay, what am I going to do for 2020? Let me try and organize my thoughts. Yep, all of it. No, yeah, all of it over here. Great, thanks. So we're going to have a little illustration to help us to understand this principle of seeking God first. So hopefully you can all see. I'm hoping online you can see it as well. So we've got these wonderful models here for us. Thank you. And the other table as well. Great. Thank you. Thanks. The other one can go in the middle. The other table as well, Edmund. As you can see, they're well prepared, the guys. They can't even fake it, you know, just pretend that you know what's happening. Okay. In the middle, thank you. Okay, so we have Edmund. If you could stand behind one table, Edmund. And thank you. Just make sure that your things are in a nice line. So if you know me, I like things to be nice and organized. Thank you. Great, thank you. And the same on this side. Okay, so we have two wonderful men of God here, aren't they? Okay, so we've got two wonderful men of God. So if we could have our picture up on the wall to help us to understand it, thank you. So we know that all of us need sleep, we all need rest, we all spend time on social media. Who doesn't use social media at all? Is there anybody who doesn't? Wonderful, what a man of God over there. So that means he must be really holy, because he must, two people, must spend even more time in God's presence. So we work, whatever form of work that is, and we all have leisure, as I said, and time for seeking God. So each of these things represents one of those things. We know that we all need to sleep, we all need to rest, however many hours we get, and we all need to work. So the stones represent the time that we spend with God. And we're going to think about how we order those things in our life. Because this verse that has been set before us says to seek first. The water represents our sleep, how long we take to do our hair and get ready. Some people are 5 minutes, jump out of bed, do their hair and face and get out the door. And other people need an hour or two to get ready. So however long you take, the amount, we've got all of that factored in. So Edmund is going to be the person who places the rest and grooming and sleep first. So if you can put that first, Edmund, your water. Thank you. Your water jug, sorry, here, yep. Great, you can take all the lids off, thank you. Thank you. So this is your one first, just take all your lids off, thank you. Take all your lids off, thank you. So Edmund has the water first. He's decided that the most important thing in his life is his element of, you can just leave it there, Edmund, that's fine. Thank you. So his element of sleep, rest and grooming, making sure he looks good. As you can see, he spends a lot of time grooming, doing his hair, putting the polish on his hair, head, and all those things. He spends a lot of time doing that. I thought that men who were bald chose to be bald. I didn't realise it's because their hair was coming out. I was asking. Not all men, I'm just saying. I was talking to a guy in prison and said, you look really good. He goes, it's not by choice, it's because... Okay, let's move on quickly then. Anyway. Okay, so Edmund has decided that sleep, rest is the most important thing. So he has water first. Holy Frankie has decided that God is first. So as you can see, for Frankie, the first thing he puts in his life is God. The rocks are first. His time with God, reading God's words, going to Bible school, attending discipleship group, joining us, all these things. He said, God is first. I need to spend time with God and get to know. He's put God first. Okay. And then Frankie decides that after that he is going to then focus on his work, which is the stones. So you can put the stones in. Add the stones to your rocks, so you can pour those in there. Thank you. Edmund decides that actually after he has had his sleep, that for him his next thing is also work. You know, work comes next. So add that to your water. Thank you to your water. Thank you. And then they have to think about what's next. So for Frankie, he then focuses on his leisure time. So then he focuses on his leisure. So you can add your leisure to it, which is the sand. Thank you. Thank you. And then Edmund, you can add your leisure to the, thank you. Thank you, great. And then at the end, they decide to add whatever's left. And Frankie decides that the last thing to add is his rest and sleep and grooming, and so you can add that. Thank you. And Edmund then adds in, at the end, he decides to add in God. So you can just, you might want to put those in carefully. Yeah. Okay, now, my experiment hasn't quite worked. Because what should happen is that the rock, there shouldn't be any space for the rocks. So in essence, what should happen is that that Frankie has his container in the right order, and therefore he is able to fit everything in. But unfortunately for Edmund, because I didn't measure it properly, for Edmund, because Edmund puts God in last, he can't quite get everything in. So the point of the exercise is this, that actually God first needs to happen. And actually, if you think about your own life, you know that that's true. That when you do everything in the order that Edmund does it, what happens is that you try to fit God in, slot God in somewhere. So in the morning, you get ready, you sort yourself out, and then as you're going out the door, you might fit God in. Oh, Lord, be with me today as I go to work in all the things I'm doing. Amen. But it doesn't work. Because actually, what God says is that we need to seek him first. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. But, yeah, that's fine. Oh, you can move back. Whatever. That's fine. I don't mind. Thank you. So the question I have for you this morning is, what do you ache for the most? What is it that you yearn for? Just look at somebody else and say, what do you ache for the most? You see, God is doing great things in our church. He's doing great things in our lives. He's doing great things in our personal lives. He's doing great things in our community. He's doing great things in the world. And it's easy for us to come to church to... I've gone off completely, I think. Yeah, have I gone completely? Sorry. Thank you, Steve. It's easy for us to... It's easy for us to focus on being here, going home, being here, going home, and actually missing the fact that if we don't seek God first, we can lose out. Matthew chapter 6 and 7, those chapters focus on seeking God. They're all about lots of different things, but when you have a look at those chapters, you see that the focus is about seeking God. So that's my introduction. So number one, seeking God, the principle of seeking God, the foundational system of seeking God. God needs to be positioned in a place of preference, of priority in our lives. Imagine your car, or a car if you don't have one. Does God sit in the passenger seat? Or does God sit in the back seat? Or when you're up to something you shouldn't be doing at all, do you put God in the boot? Where is God positioned in your car? Because actually, this verse says that God should be positioned in the driver's seat. Seek ye first means that God is in the driver's seat. He's not in the passenger seat, he's not in the back seat, and he definitely is not in the boot. God is positioned in the driver's seat. And so I want to challenge you to ask yourself, actually, Lord, where are you positioned in my life, in my family? Where have I positioned you? In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So right at the beginning of Genesis, and in this scripture in John, it says that God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, was right there at the beginning. That is how they start the chapter. That is how we start our relationship with God, our walk with God. We need to submit ourselves, our heart and soul and mind, to seeking God. We need to place ourselves under the authority of Christ. That might be a painful experience for some of us. Some of us have not had good experiences of authority. Some of us would say that we haven't had authority in our lives at all. And that can be really challenging. I know, I work with men in prison, so I know men and women, but men who struggle with coming under the authority of Christ, because the authority that's been in their lives has been really negative. So to submit to the authority of Jesus is really tough for them. Because for them, is Jesus going to let me down? Is he not going to be there? How can I even say the word Father when I don't know what that looks like? And when we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus, he comes and reveals himself to us. He meets us. When we consider how much time we spend with the things in our lives, what is the portion of time that we spend with God? My submission to Christ will be evident in the way that I live. Isn't that the case? The things that are the most important to me are the things that I spend time with. If you are pursuing a woman or a man, you think, I've got my eye on that person. If you are pursuing them, you make an effort for that person. Someone told me today, I said, oh, how is your relationship going? And they said, oh, it's really nice. He took me out and we went somewhere really, really nice. And that's lovely, that beginning stages of that guy wants her and he's pursuing her and he is making an effort to make sure that it happens. And she's making him work, and that's right. His priority is, I want this woman to know who I am, that I am faithful, committed, that I am the one. I am the best thing that could ever happen to her. That's what he's saying. How do we pursue God? How do we strive for God? Because what you spend most of your time with is the thing that is priority for you. Consider how you have your attitude towards your work. Do you wake up in the morning and go, yeah, well, the other team will be there, so I can turn up a bit later. Well, you know, the leaves are falling off the trees. It's autumn, so there's bound to be leaves on the track. So I can use that one today. Or when you're submitting that piece of work, do you think, you know, I really want to go to that party, so let me just get it done quick. I won't bother to check it, and I'll just submit it. Think about your attitude and your responses to the way you work. Now think about your attitude and your responses to the way you respond to church. When you hear people say, okay, can we have a show of hands of those who are happy to stay afterwards and clean up the mess? How many hands go up and say, I just need to serve? You see, actually, where I am with the Lord is evident by the way that I live my life, by the way I talk to people, by the way I act towards people, by the way that I am spending time with the Lord. That actually shows me where I am with the Lord. It's a good reflection for me. This isn't about us looking at somebody else and saying, oh yeah, well, are they really a Christian? No, no. This is about me looking in the mirror and saying, actually, if I really, really loved the Lord, if I was really committed to this, would I really watch CSI rather than dial in? You see, where you are will be evident by the way you live, by the choices that you make. Matthew 8:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. People use this scripture in the world. They don't know that it's a Bible verse, and they just have that expression, home is where the heart is. It actually comes from the Bible. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The thing that you are seeking after, it will be evident, because that's where you plug your time. That's where you invest your money. That is your priority. But the principle that we are seeing in the Word of God is that that principle is not eternal. It does not have an eternal impact. It might have a short-term impact, and it might look good and feel good temporarily, but it won't have an eternal long-term impact. Luke 2:49 says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" That's Jesus' response to his parents. What were you looking for me for? Don't you know what my priorities are? My priority is my Father. My priority is knowing the Word of God. My priority is hanging out with Jesus people. That's my priority. So why would you be looking in the park? Why would you be looking at the neighbors? Why would you be this is the first place you should look, church. Wow, imagine that of us. First place to look is the house of God. Where what you're focusing is where your heart is. I studied a course called Emotional Intelligence. And emotional intelligence is about how, if we are not emotionally mature, how that will impact everything in our lives. So you could be a really intelligent person, a great entrepreneur, you might be fantastic and successful, able to do things, but actually you keep failing. Things keep going wrong. You're unsuccessful. And it talks about how our emotional intelligence has an impact on our success. And this week I went to a very well-known person's funeral, and it was really sad to hear stories of how he was homeless and how he ended up dying alone, really. I mean, he was in the hospital and family got to see him. But what was interesting was is how his emotional intelligence, he was a very skilled man, a very talented man, incredible impact on people's lives. But for his own life, he had no money and he was alone. Because actually he had not sorted out, stored up those things in his own life. So I want to challenge us this morning, where is your priority? Where are the things that you focus on? Because actually you might be really good at doing some of those things out there. But when you look into your own life, where is it? Where do you stand? Where is your emotional intelligence? The principle is that we have to invest in the things in our lives. We can be really good at, the impact he had on people's lives, on musicians, on all sorts of people, hundreds of people. He has left a worldwide legacy, but in his own life, he really struggled, and that had an impact. What is your legacy? What is it that you have placed as a priority in your life? Just turn to the person next to you and just tell them three things that you would say are keys to leadership. Just say three things that you say a leader needs to, and just say three things that you think a leader should have. Three skills they should have, or three things that you think they need to be able to do. Okay, so shout out some of those things that some of you have said. Sorry? Integrity, trustworthy, disciplined, empathy, servant heart, people, person, zeal, yeah, committed. Okay, all really, really wonderful principles and ideas about what we should have. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, it says, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or desires to be a noble task, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, which is showing restraint, self-controlled, respectful, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, that's helpful, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see his children obey him, and he must do as is worthy of a man to respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert or become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. level. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So although this is about those overseeing and leaders, look at what the Bible says we need to look for. Those are the things that we should strive for. So hear what I'm saying. We can be really good at doing things outside, but what is happening in our home? And that might be in our home, physically in our home, as the Bible says, of our children, our wife, our husband, our partner, or it might be in our home, this home here, my body. What is going on in my home, in my mind? What am I spending my time doing? Actually, the Bible's description of what good character looks like, what leadership looks like, what we should seek after, is often very different to what the world says. All the things that we've said are really good qualities to have. But the Bible says that we should focus on making sure that not only do we have those skills and abilities, but what is going on in your home. I remember that a volunteer came to my workplace, and she began to work at my workplace, and I invited her to church, and she came to church. And then somebody at my workplace said to her, "Is Angela the same at church as she is at work? Is she the same?" And I could hear them talking, and she said, "She's exactly the same. Everywhere I've been with her, she's exactly the same." They don't see me all the time, obviously. But that's what she said, and I was like, "Yes, thank you, Jesus." How would people talk about you if they spent time living with you? Somebody said to me, "Could I come and live with you for a little while?" And I thought, that's not a good idea. Might change how you see me. Jesus didn't mind that, you see. He said, "Yeah, we'll hang out together all the time." Because actually he was the same all the time. But I think, wow, if someone actually lived with me, that's tough. That's people really seeing you at your rawest, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, imagine on your application form, if it said that, you've applied for a leadership role, and on the application form it said, "Please describe how you behave at home." That's what Jesus is, that's what it says, that's what the Bible says. You can be great out there, but what are you like at home? What is going on in here? How do you live in here? Seek first the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we get it right. It doesn't mean that we don't mess up, because we do all the time, every day. But it says that, "God, I'm seeking you first. I blew it, Lord. I should have offered that person a lift, and I didn't, and I blew it. Lord, I want to get it right next time." Seek first the kingdom of God. Be intentional. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We have to be intentional. Seeking God first doesn't just happen. We can't just go, "Oh, I've got saved now, so yeah, I guess that's it. I'm done. I'm in." We have to be intentional. Last week, Pastor Joe said, "Listen, just because you've got saved, it doesn't mean that that's it. You're done and dusted." That's absolutely right. Be intentional. The Bible talks about houses, mansions in heaven. Does that mean God has a grading system? What a challenge that is. When we get to heaven, are you going to be living in a shed? Or are you going to be living in a mansion? Be intentional. If you think about your life in work, you're intentional. Be intentional. These headings were taken from last week. And these are in Pastor Joe's notes and they're in mine. Our desire must be specific. Our desire must be scriptural. Our desire must be a burden on our hearts. Our desire will have a time frame on it. Our desire must be in faith. Check yourself out. Take some time and say, "Lord, have I done this? Have I sat down and said, Lord, I want to be intentional. I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing, Father, it's in line with what you've said. Let me look at this. Let me focus on it, because it is not just going to happen." We have to make a choice to do that. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. is about the word of God, and it says that God will meet our physical needs. In Matthew 5, verse 4 to 8, it's the blessed be verses. And in verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So actually what God says is, when we seek him first, everything else will be sorted. So the priority is not my hair. You're all going to think of Edmund every time I say that. My hair, my sleep, my social media. That actually the principle is, when we seek God first, everything else comes. Basic principle, isn't it? What an incredible principle. Because you kind of think, well, no, let me just sort this one first, Lord, and then I'll do. But the principle that we have in this scripture is, seek God first, because everything will follow. God knows our needs. He already knows what we need, and he has made a way for those needs. He cares about us. Don't let your natural talents restrict where God wants you to go. I really want us to hear that, church, because this has been a challenge to me. Don't let your natural talents restrict where God wants you to go. What is easy to do is to use our natural talents to get us somewhere. And then we stop. Because actually, if we're not seeking God first, God can't stretch us, take us, push us even further. Because actually what we rely on is what we're good at naturally. You're a natural worship leader. You're a natural administrator. You're a natural sound person. You're a natural usher. You do those things naturally. Actually, if you're not good at smiling and being generous and being nice, then you should be an usher. If you're not good at singing, well, the worship team won't let you in, but they're a bit mean like that. But if you're not a good singer, then start practicing and join the worship team. Because actually, God desires to stretch us and push us and take us to places that are not in the natural. You see, us relying on our natural gifts is not faith. There's no element of faith there. So we need to make sure that we're saying, Lord, I want to go further than what my natural gifts can do. Yes, I can sing. So what? Actually, Lord, teach me to write songs. Teach me to go out on the streets with the homeless people and sing and use my worship and singing. Ask the Lord to take what we have and to multiply it. Don't let your natural gifts be a stumbling block. Where are you sowing seeds and where are you building? Because actually where you sow your seeds is where the fruit will come. And those seeds might be negative seeds and those seeds might be good seeds. If you're somebody who is saying, well, I'm naturally good looking and I've got a way with the gentleman. So let me give you an example. I'm not naturally good looking, but I used to have lots of guys come up. I think it's because I'm tall. It was just because I was tall. So I used to have guys come to me, and it was such a great opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And that's what I would do all the time. Sorry, that was a bit. I don't mean they're happening all the time, but. Okay, it's getting worse, isn't it? It didn't happen all the time. Anyway. So we would go to clubs. I would be in my car. Somebody had a car accident because they were trying to chat me up and I was telling them about Jesus. I know, it was a bit bad. And so I pulled away and they were like, yeah, and they pulled away, but their lane hadn't gone, so they ended up hitting the car in front. But what I'm saying to you is that use what you have for the kingdom of God. When I went to this funeral, that went so wrong. Okay. It's just getting worse, isn't it? But let me tell you, this is so... So when I met my husband, and he hadn't got saved, and we weren't dating, we were just talking, and I'd invited him to the Apple course and lots of different things. But So I said, listen, there's no point in you dating a Christian because you'll get bored really quickly. And he said, no, I date Christians all the time. I said, well, anyway, what I'm saying to you is that you'll get bored really quickly. Because as Christians, we don't do sex before marriage. And he said, yeah, I've dated Christians and they have sex. Exactly, not this one. So think about the seeds that you sow. Because all the women that he'd slept with before who were Christians, what seeds had they sown? Physically, literally. But also spiritually. Do you spiritually think about the seeds they had sown? How was that all going to get undone? Because suddenly he has to meet somebody who has to convince him, absolutely, this is never going to happen, ever. And that's great. But church, what seeds are you sowing? I don't want someone to undo damage that I've done. And I don't want to be undoing somebody else's damage. I want my focus to be sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. That's what I want for all of us, for me and all of us. Church, think about the seeds that you sow, because they will have a positive impact and a negative impact. It's not that we get to choose, because that's not the biblical principle. The principle isn't that you get to choose the impact of your seeds. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when you sow, there's fruit. So it's a principle. But that principle also means that when we sow for the kingdom, there is fruit. When you seek God, you are blessed. It's a principle. It's a given. That's what the Bible says. When you seek God, all these things will come. Seeking God means we need to sow seeds. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So we are in a position of blessing. We are so blessed that God has given us, he's placed a mantle of authority on us. That means when you sow seeds with a heart that says, Lord, I'm seeking you first, it has an impact. If it's one talent and you sow that seed, it will have an impact. If it's 10 talents and you sow that seed, it will have an impact. There is a blessing because of what we sow. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I want to close with this. The Ark of the Covenant was a powerful message to David about the principles of seeking God first. We won't read the story, but you can read it in 1 Samuel 4 if you haven't read it. But have a look at it again anyway. 1 Samuel 4. The Israelites go to war with the Philistines and they actually lose. They lose thousands of men. And so the Israelites say, this is going really badly. Hey, let's wheel out the ark. That will help. And they wheel out the ark, believing that that will mean they win. They go to war again with the Philistines. And actually, they lose again. That's strange, isn't it? Because the Ark of the Covenant, God had placed the anointing on it. So how is it that they managed to lose? Doesn't quite make sense. The principle is seek God first. That's the principle. And so the Philistines not only kill even more of the Israelites. In fact, this is what the Philistines say. The Philistines say, and when they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come to the camp, the Philistines were afraid. For they said, a God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for nothing like this has ever happened before. Woe to us, who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with every sort of plague and wilderness. Take courage. So this is the Philistines. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, lest you become slaves to the Hebrews. So they have, so they have been to you, be the men of light. So how interesting that the Philistines actually, even in a time of war, they take courage and they manage to beat the Israelites. That's a very interesting principle, because the principle is that we seek God first. You can know the Bible really, really well. You can go to Bible school. You can do all the external things that you think are going to make a difference to you. But guess what? If you don't seek God first, that will have no authority or power. It just won't. It doesn't matter how well you quote scripture. I work with men in prison who know the Bible like the back of their hand. I know men who have been taken from the pulpit to the prison. That doesn't make you a powerful person of God. It doesn't give you authority. Seeking God first is where our authority comes. And so the Israelites, David learns this principle from this passage, that the Israelites, the Philistines, take the ark, they kill the people, and they put the ark in their temple with the god of Dagon. Of course, that's a very foolish thing to do, because the god falls over and its head smashes off and its hands fall off, and the Philistines go, is this a coincidence or is there something powerful about the ark? And they do it again the next day, and the same thing, it falls over. So they go, okay, let's move it out. They move the ark out, they take it around to the different towns, and every town they go to, the people get tumors. And so they move it to the next town. And they get to the next town, and the people of the Philistines go, whoa, whoa, no, don't bring it here. We've heard about this ark. We don't want it. And so then the Philistines go, okay, there's something about this ark. Maybe not. Can you imagine? You've gone through all of that. Don't we do the same? Gone through all of that and still going, is it God? Isn't it God? And so they let the ark go. They make some gold, this is a very strange thing to do to say sorry, but they make some gold tumors and put them there on the ark with some rats, gold rats, and they send it off. And the ark goes to a house of God. And this man of God has the ark in his presence. And in that man's house, that man doesn't have tumors, but that man is blessed. Why is that? Exactly the same principles, the same ark. So how come suddenly this ark is bringing blessings when just a minute ago it was bringing curses? Just a minute ago it was with the Israelites. How can that be? This is the same ark. We didn't change it. We haven't done anything. How is it that the same ark has brought blessings? Church, we need to get this principle. There was something about Obed's heart. There was something about his lifestyle. There was something about his choices where he was saying, I seek God first. And therefore, because I seek God first, whether this ark is here or not, this is a house of blessing. And so he was blessed. And David recognizes that and then says, okay, I get it. I get it now. And this is the verse that I want to close with, which is what David's response. David says this, and this is my prayer for us. It says in 2 Samuel verse 6:21, David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from this house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humbled in my own eyes. But for these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I will become even more undignified. When we seek for God first, something happens to us. There's a transforming power where when we seek God first, it's at all costs. I will not compromise. I will not take second place. I will become even more undignified than this. And David saw that and he recognized it and said, I'm seeking God first. You don't like my outfit. You don't like what I'm wearing. You don't like the way I dance. That's unfortunate, because actually I'm seeking God first. And that's the position God wants us to be in. For us to have kingdom impact in Greenwich, for you to have kingdom impact in your workplace, for you to have kingdom impact in your social group and in your family and in your church, we need to seek God first. And we will be able to look to our left and right and see all these things will come after. So I want to pray for us as a whole church. So I'd like us to stand, and I want to pray for us as a whole church. And then I want to just pray for one particular group, a couple of groups of people. So I'm going to pray for us as a whole church that we will grasp this truth of seeking God first. That for each of us, we will take time to say, actually, Lord, I haven't done this. I haven't set that aside, that time aside to say, yes, Lord, this is my priority and I need to seek you first. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer. Father, there was something that transformed in David's life where he was able to say, I will become even more undignified than this. But that took a transformation in his heart and in his understanding. So I pray for us as a church that, Lord, CLF corporate, CLF Greenwich, Father, that every single one of us, Lord, would seek you first. God, that's my prayer. From the youngest child to the oldest adult, Father, that we would seek you first. Lord, that we would bring our talents and place them, Lord, Father, where you want us to sow seeds that would have impact. And that, Lord, as your scripture said, there would be a blessing that would come from seeking you first. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And if specifically you know that in your own life, there are things in your life that you have placed in a position that should have been God's position. So you've allowed something else in your life to say, no, this has priority over God. It's not something that's very comfortable or very nice to admit or face up to. But if that is you, then I want to pray again. So you can stay standing if that's not.